May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1151. 1151. Great sovereign Lord, what human eye amidst thy works can rove, and not thy liberal hand espy, nor trace thy bounteous love. Hymn 1151.
Oh, Our reading from God's precious word this evening you'll find in two portions of Luke's gospel. Firstly, we'll turn to Luke chapter 5 and read from verse 18 to 32, and then we'll read Luke chapter 18. But first, let us turn to Luke chapter 5 and we'll begin reading at verse 18 to the end of verse 32. And behold, men brought in abed a man which was taken with a palsy or paralysis. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus, answering, said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer, little children, to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly or with difficulty shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. We'll leave the reading of his holy word there, and may we each now be given that help to truly pray. Oh, most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, grant unto us each now a breath of real prayer. Grant unto us each that wrestling prayer, which can wonders do. Grant unto us each, Lord, that prayer from our hearts, something, Lord, from deep within, that ascends up unto thee on high. And if there be those here this evening who say, I have nothing to say, oh, may we never forget, Lord, that thou dost hear the groans deep within. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, where everyone is. But Lord, as we come together this night, we pray that we may indeed come together with that one right desire, that through the preached word, through the reading of the word, through our prayer together, through the singing of thy praises, we may know that unity one with another. We may know that true joy in public worship, that we may know indeed, above all, thy presence with us, so that we, upon this earth, may bring honour and glory to thy name. Offer up the sacrifices of praise unto thee. Be humbled in the dust and laid low, Lord, before the Almighty God. Yet, Lord, as we come together tonight, we have no ability and no right, Lord, to demand what thou wilt do. But may we cry as those that we have been reading of, pleading for mercy. Lord, we have nothing to give unto thee. We have nothing of our own merit. We are undone sinners. But, Lord, we have that great mediator between thee and us, the man Christ Jesus. And Lord, as the hymn says, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And that is what we plead, and may we plead it unitedly this evening, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And if there be those souls here this evening who are far off from thee, have never known thee, are dead in trespasses and sins, hearts are as hard as stone, nothing has penetrated, Lord, oh, it is thy work to quicken and bring to life. And may it be that many souls are born again, many souls are raised to life, many souls are brought, Lord, to see themselves and to see thee. Lord, we believe there are those here this evening who are seeking to know thee, who are longing to have the precious blood of Christ applied to their souls. We pray, Lord, that tonight they may likewise go on their way, changed from how they came in, for the better, that they may find peace for their souls, that they may find that which they have come looking for, and that through that they may bring honour and glory to thy name. Lord, those that have known thy precious name, and Lord, yet feel that they are now in a cold, far off place, Lord, it is thy work to warm their hearts again. And if it be thy will tonight, may it be the case, so that every one may go on their way rejoicing. For Lord, we live in a time where we know not when it will end. We live in a day, Lord, where we cannot predict what the future may hold. But may we find rest in this, that all is ordered by thee. And as we try to lay before the people this afternoon, our God is a sovereign God. Thou art in control of all. Nothing can be added to, nothing can be taken away from what thou hast done and hast ordered. Thy perfect work in all of our lives. Yet, Lord, through thy work, may we fear thee. Be filled with awe and reverence and wonder at thy mercy, thy love, thy compassion, thy long-suffering, and may be ever brought lower, not in mock humility, but in true heartfelt humility, and a true humility which will cause us to praise thee. So, Lord, we come tonight. We come with that purpose to give thanksgiving. Lord, for we have again witnessed in this nation a bountiful harvest. Lord, we are sadly detached from the, many of us, from the realities of our food. We go into the shops. We expect it to be on the shelves. We put it in our trolleys. We take it home. We fill our cupboards till they are bursting, and sadly barely think of the God that has provided. Lord, how often it is the case, we do not truly value what we have got until it is taken from us. So may we rightly come with thanksgiving for what we have. We live in a land of outward plenty. We have more food than we know what to do with. Generally speaking, there is great prosperity in our land. Lord, we must truly be thankful for it. But Lord, we plead that we may yet see those days where there is great spiritual prosperity in our land. Where there is, dare we say, a hunger for thy word. Where there is that realization that, yes, we need natural food. But above all, we need that food for our souls. But Lord, it's not just in our land outside of these four walls. It's within the congregation, it's within the church, it's within us as individuals. Lord, may we hunger more. May we have that zeal and thirst and desire to be here, to feed on thee, Lord. Lord, may it be that this is what we value, the preached word, the worship of thee, the assembling together of the saints. And yet, Lord, those of us that stand in this place, as we see in so many places the numbers declining, oh, grant unto us as individuals and preachers of the word that true searching of our hearts, where we come so far short in laying the word before the people. However, help us to be faithful servants of thy word, full of that desire to see many grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, grant, we pray, true searching of heart for the people too, that they may give that examination of how they come to the house of God, how they prepare, how they pray, Lord. And we know how difficult it is, Lord, to lay aside the distracting thoughts of this life. We know how hard it is when we are so occupied and distracted by so many things. Oh Lord, we need thee to help us. Help us, Lord, as we come to worship. And help everyone now who is not prepared to worship to be given that heart to do so. Lord, thou knowest the personal prayers of everyone here tonight, and we do not. Thou knowest, Lord, what has been prayed for as they have come up. Thou knowest the word that they have begged for. Thou knowest, Lord, what is needful. And through this poor man tonight, may we be directed into the case of one and another, so that we together may be astounded at thy word. Lord, without thy power, Lord, we will gather in vain. Without thy divine aid, Lord, we will just, it will be pointless being here. Oh, may we not mock thee with that wrong worship, but may we be true, heartfelt worshippers tonight. Lord, we thank thee for all those that have gathered this evening and for those that were here this afternoon. Lord, may there be indeed that love to the churches one to another, that true support one for another, and do be with all the causes of truth that are here represented this evening. Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for there, and in all places of worship, those we know and those that we don't know. But wherever thy word is faithfully preached, Lord, up and down this land, we pray that help will be given to stand fast to that which is right, to press on, Lord, against the tide of iniquity that seems to persistently flow against us, to be sound and solid in thy word, not to lean upon our own wisdom, not to lean upon our own traditions, but to have our eyes focused and centered upon what thy word says unto us. And where we have offended thee, where we have strayed, Lord, we pray, open our eyes and turn us back to that narrow way which leads to life eternal. And so, Lord, do be with us this evening. Lord, we would pray for all ages, young and old, those unwell, those in affliction, those in great difficulty, Lord, outwardly. Lord, thou knowest who they are and how they are. We pray for them all. Grant healing if it be thy will. Grant submission too to the pathway thou hast seen fit to place each one in. But Lord, thou knowest those with those inward afflictions, those with soul trouble, those that long to know peace and comfort and joy and love and mercy overflowing and abounding in their hearts. Lord, we pray that that may be the case too. Pray, Lord, for the children and young people here tonight. May they be given those ears to hear as they have given up a Saturday to come and worship, and that tomorrow they will have to come as well. Lord, may they not see it as a chore. May they not see it as something which they don't want to do. Lord, we pray that they will work in their hearts while they are young, and that those of us that stand here and those older in the church and congregation may be that right example one to them, and that may be that prayer one for another, and that true unity, whatever the age group. But Lord, we come, and we come with that right confession. Lord, we have no true understanding of how wretched we are. But Lord, our eyes may have been opened a little to who we are. And so help us to come rightly with that confession. Lord, forgive. Lord, have mercy. Lord, may we be nearer unto thee. Sanctify every step of our life, Lord. Draw us nearer to the wounded side of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Help us more and more to shelter in that precious blood, in that robe of righteousness, rather than in ourselves. And Lord, as we have thy day upon us shortly too, we pray for one expected here tomorrow. Greatly help him. And may he come, Lord, with that message from thee, and be thy messenger with thy message. And Lord, pray help him in his many responsibilities and labours in the churches. Lord, we pray for those persecuted in the churches in other lands. Lord, we do not value our freedom truly. We do not value, Lord, the ability to just come and worship and go. And because we do not value it, we just come and we just go. Help us, Lord, to see what a privilege it is to assemble together when many do so with fear. And many do so knowing it could be the last time because of the persecution. So we pray for those in great need. Lord, we live in a world, Lord, which is so full of sin, so full of evil. Overturn the wicked devices of men and draw us nearer unto thee. O Lord, call all thy people, we pray. Quicken every one of thy people, Lord, we pray, and hasten thy coming, so that thou wilt come and judge the earth, and bring thy ransomed people home to be with thee. Oh Lord, we seldom feel it. But may we be like the Apostle Paul and desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Lord, for that we need to be stripped painfully from that which we hold above thee upon this earth. But Lord, may Christ be first, Christ be last, and Christ be all in all. So be with us all, Lord, we pray, we all need thee. Give the people those ears to hear. Open them up, we pray, so that the words spoken tonight may enter in, penetrate the heart, and bring forth fruit, Lord. Lord, nail thy truths into their hearts, Lord, and give us every word to speak. Strip us of anything of ourselves, Lord, and make us true worshippers together tonight. Oh, Lord, we need thee. Lord, we need thee. Lord, we need thee. Help us, we pray. Send thy spirit down, Lord, and comfort us with thy presence, we beg. Leave us not. May we go home on our way rejoicing, Lord. May we go on our way, Lord, marvelling at who thou art. Lord, thou knowest what is needful this evening. Truly thou knowest. Truly grant it for thine honour and glory's sake, we beg. Forgive all that we have asked wrongly. That which we have forgotten to pray for, Lord, may it not just be my words, but may our prayers be as one, we pray. And do intercede for us, dear Lord Jesus, for we ask all in and through thy precious name. Amen.
Hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims and makes his goodness known to men deserving endless pains. He gave his only Son. Hymn 570.
the Lord to help each one of us gathered here this evening, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word. I'll ask you to turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and the last part of verse 13. But I'll reread the whole parable. Luke chapter 18, and the last part of verse 13, but I'll read again from verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. These are well-known words which we take for our text this evening. It is the gospel in a sentence. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We all know the words. We may have all prayed those words or said those words. But have you truly said them? Because in this parable, we have two men. We have two prayers. And we have two outcomes. And every one of you here tonight will be like one of these men. You will have prayed one of these prayers. And there will have been one of these outcomes for you. And as we look at the start of this parable, this must be the purpose of the sermon tonight. For this parable and all parables really have one main thrust. And it is this, in this parable, to try and sift out those which trust in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. You may quite rightly say to me again this evening, well, this isn't a very Thanksgiving-y type sermon, is it? But it'll be full of thanksgiving if you go home like the eunuch. If you go home having the word of God, the truth of Christ impressed upon your heart, you'll be there like the eunuch and go on your way rejoicing with thanksgiving that you have never ever known before. So as the Lord may help us in the time that we have together tonight to consider simply these two men and compare ourselves to them, to consider these two prayers and see which one we are in, and then to see how we'll return to our house, justified or not. Two men went to the right place. Two men went up into the temple to pray. And two groups of people have come likewise to do so tonight. I don't know the Pharisees here. I don't know the publicans. I could guess. I could try and evaluate the evidence that I have, the little that I have, but I don't truly know. But the Lord does. So these two men went up like we have gone up. And these two men, they also prayed to the right God. The right place, to the right God. One of them wasn't worshipping Muhammad or some Hindu god or some Buddhist deity. They were praying to God. So what was different? One was praying from the heart. The other was praying from the head. And the one that had it all in his head, he couldn't force anything into his heart. But the man that felt he had nothing in his head poured everything out from his heart. Two men. And the more I've read the Gospels this year, it has become more and more apparent to me God's utter disdain for the Pharisee. Is there any, you read them yourself in your own time, is there any group of people in the Gospels that the Lord shows more anger to than the Pharisees? You've only got to turn, well, you can look at many chapters, can't you? But Matthew 23 comes to mind. We have in that chapter, don't we, those seven woes, is it, to the Pharisees. Why? 23 verse 5. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, which were basically strips of parchment that they bound to their head. They enlarged the borders of their garments so that they looked the part. They loved the uppermost rooms at the feasts, the chief seats in the synagogues. They loved the outward form of worship. They loved it. Why? Because men looked upon them and said, oh, they must be good people. They look right. They look right. They're doing everything that's right. But what about all those woes? Read them in your own time. I need to read them again, examine them again, examine myself against them again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And this is the point, isn't it? They were doing everything they thought was right, but they were forgetting the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, dealing rightly with others, mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done and to left, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, he says to them, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, They were so intent on completely obeying the law. They would take everything they drank. They would strain it so that if there was any insect or anything impure within it, they wouldn't drink it. And what did Jesus say to them? Yes, you're straining out every little insect, but in so doing, you've ended up swallowing a camel. Making clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within, you're full of extortion and excess. Oh, dear friends, have we got any Pharisees here this evening? Have we got any here who are very good at cleaning the outside of the cup? But it's in the heart that matters, dear friends. And then when the heart is made right with God, then will flow out that which is right. Never the other way round. Never the other way round. We convinced this evening that we are right, everybody else is wrong. Be careful that we haven't got the spirit of the Pharisee. One man, the Pharisee. But what about the other man? The publican. This publican, so you children understand, was a tax collector. But not a tax collector that would just, like today, when you get paid, you have to pay 20%, 40%, whatever it is to the government. These tax collectors would have gone round, they would have collected what they were supposed to collect and extorted or forced people to pay a larger amount. They were despised by the Jewish people. They were appointed by the Roman occupiers to get as much money as they could. And they were absolutely hated and despised. They were. How do we view the hated and despised in society? How do we view the publicans of our day? And who would the publicans be? Probably be the drug addicts. They'll probably be the great criminals. They'll probably be those that are the deprived of society. Those that we would put in inverted commas as not being very nice people. They would be the Zacchaeuses. Zacchaeus, though, his heart was touched. Zacchaeus, when Jesus came, sought him out. Why God chooses publicans and sinners and not the righteous is in one way a mystery, but in another way it's not. Because the sinners, the publicans, the great unwashed, whatever we want to call them, they know when God works in their hearts that they are sinners. But the Pharisees, with just that outward smoothness in their life, going on thinking everything is okay, are not broken. Where are we? Who did God call? Who did Jesus call to be a disciple? We read it, didn't we? In chapter 5, Levi. Sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. Why did Jesus choose Levi? Why didn't he choose one of these great righteous men? Because they were proud? Because they weren't humble? Jesus said to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Have we got any sick here tonight? Any sin sick souls that need a physician? Are there any here tonight overwhelmed by their wretchedness? By how vile they are? Have you had to cry today, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Well, if you have, be thankful. You may not have the cure you yet want. You may not yet feel free, and you never will to the day of your death, feel free from the curse of sin, from the weight of sin, from indwelling sin. But be thankful that you know that you're a sinner. And you're not just strutting around like the Pharisee, happy with who you are. And may I be bold enough to say, if you've never truly cried, God be merciful to me, a sinner, then you've never known God. And you've never known who you are. Yes, there'll be conviction of sin in the hearts of all true believers to a lesser or greater extent. And it does vary in all the Lord's people. But there will be an understanding that they're sick. Because if there's no understanding that we are sinners, you have no need of a saviour. You don't need Christ. You don't need the physician. The Pharisees didn't need it, and neither will you. And you know, before we move on to the two prayers, do you pray that this place will be filled with the publicans of this day? Do you long to have your seat taken by some great outward sinner? Because, dear friends, if we pray for a revival, that's what will come. We are living in a fallen world. We are living in a time in this nation where we have so far departed from God and his word, that when the Lord brings a revival again into this nation, if it be his will, it will be with sinful publicans, because God came to call sinners and not the righteous to repentance. Another verse that has struck me recently is Matthew chapter 21 and verse 31. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots, or the tax collectors and the prostitutes, go into the kingdom of God before you. Before you that are full of your own righteousness. What a thought for us tonight. If we think we are anything in and of ourselves this evening. Two men went up into the temple to pray. But two prayers. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus, how? With himself. Now I'll say something maybe slightly controversial here. There was nothing wrong with the Pharisee's prayer. There's nothing wrong if you were to pray, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Because, yes, you may feel to be the vilest sinner out of hell. Yes, you may feel to be the chief of sinners. But God has kept his restraining hand upon you thus far. God has not removed that restraining hand, and you and I have not fallen into the depths of outward depravity that we will do if he removes that hand. You think of the atrocities that have taken place in Israel this time last week. That could have been you, and that could have been me, and it will be you, and it will be me, if we are left to ourselves. You say, I would never do anything like that. Well, if you say that, you have no idea who you are. You have no idea what you can get to, left to yourself. But the problem with the Pharisee's prayer was he thought it was because of him that he wasn't as other men are. And he wasn't thanking God for keeping him. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that we think we have any strength in and of ourselves to keep us. That doesn't mean that we are perfect and upright and holy. What did the Apostle Paul have to cry? And maybe you have to cry this regularly. The good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Yes, we will pray that. But what will we also pray? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. There will be that recognition that we are what we are through God's grace and through God's grace alone. So what was wrong with this Pharisee's prayer? He prayed with himself. He was full of pride. He informed God, basically, how good he was. He informed God that he didn't need God. He had the proud prayer. He had no work of the Spirit within him. He was as dead as a dead man could ever be. His prayer was wrong. His prayer was proud. His prayer wasn't really a prayer. But I want to concentrate on this publican and his prayer. He stood afar off. His eyes had been opened to say and to think, how can I approach unto a holy God? How can I, someone who has so greatly sinned against one that is holy and just, ever approach him? How can I come? He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. And that's where, is that where the Lord has brought you? Brought you to the place where you feel you are nothing. You know you are nothing. You've got nothing to plead, nothing to bring. All you can cry as you smite upon your breast from your heart is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You've seen by God's grace who he is. You've seen through the work of the Holy Spirit what you are within you. You've seen that there is no reconciliation between God and you apart through Christ Jesus. And you've had to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what do we see in that prayer? We see humility. We see someone that has been humbled. And is that you? Have you been humbled under the mighty hand of God to cry that prayer? Saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You've been brought low through whatever it is. Maybe sometimes the Lord will use providential things to bring us low. Sometimes he will cause a change of circumstance. Sometimes he will just reveal something unto us. Sometimes it can be in an instant he will strike us down, like Saul. Sometimes it will be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, but it will keep on coming and the pressure will get greater and greater until you cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Are you there? Have you been there? Pleading for mercy. Have you been like that one in the hymn that we have just sung? To see all real good in Jesus dwells and freely is bestowed on such as cannot help themselves and cry for help to God? Is that where you've been brought to? To cry for help to God. Well, what was the last verse that we have just sung? Then mourning souls, dry up your tears. Though wretched be your case, his love shall banish all your fears. He'll save you by his grace. Yes, I know this is a hymn. Yes, I know it's not the inspired word of God, but it's truth. His love shall banish all your fears. He'll save you by his grace. And why? Because he's brought you to understand. He's brought you to see that you are a convicted sinner. That and that alone is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never stops with just the revelation of you being a sinner. He will reveal a precious Christ. Maybe that will be tonight. Maybe that will be tomorrow. Maybe it will be somewhere soon. He will reveal to you to see that between God and man is Christ. That's the way. And that is what this publican cried. Another hymn, and I think of his approach. We turn to it to quote it correctly. 388. Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Is that where you are this evening? Thy promise is my only plea. With this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened souls to thee, and such, O Lord, am I. Bowed down beneath a load of sin, by Satan sorely pressed, by wars without and fears within, I come to thee for rest. That's the prayer. He pleaded for mercy. He cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That word, merciful. It is an interesting word. And it is a word we only find twice in the New Testament, in the Greek. And the other time it is in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. But that word in Hebrews 2:17 that is merciful in our text is not the word merciful in that verse. It is the word to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So in this word merciful in our text, we see really someone. We see the for. We see what? It has really the propitiation, the wrath-ending sacrifice. We see the publican by faith looking to something for mercy, looking to something to satisfy the righteous wrath of God. Looking to what? To Christ. Is that where your eyes have been drawn tonight? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Two men, two prayers, and two outcomes. The publican who went in, crawled in, staggered in, stumbled in, who stood afar off, who felt like sinking under the sea, bowed down with who he was. How did he go out? Justified. How did the Pharisee go out? Just as he came in. No change. Quite content. Quite happy. But on the broad way that leads to destruction. The Pharisee was of the mindset, I'm all right. I'm not as bad as other people. On a scale of 1 to 10... I know I'm not a 10 out of 10, but I'm probably a pretty good 9.5. Therefore, I should think God will see to it in the end that I'll be all right. What did the publican say? He said, I'm off the scale. I'm a wretched sinner. I am nothing, Lord. I can bring nothing. All I can plead is thy mercy. But you know what? God delights in mercy. God delights in mercy. The Pharisee just went off completely indifferent. But the publican, his eyes had been opened. His mouth had been opened to cry a real prayer. His heart had been opened to pour forth the innermost feelings of himself. And this man went down to his house justified. But why? Let us nail this point down briefly. Why did he go to his house justified? For this simple reason, he had been given faith to believe. He had been given faith to look out of himself and had been given those eyes of faith to look to one that was perfect, to look to Christ. Dear friends, wherever you are tonight, remember this. In the lines of that hymn, Christ is the friend of sinners. Be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly. To own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Has the Lord cut through the stony outer of your heart and plunged the arrow of conviction into your innermost being so that you've had to squeeze out that cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner? Well, if that is the case, how will you go home? Justified. Justified. So what, me? A sinner? Yes, you, a sinner. But my faith is so small. I know so little. I am but so insignificant. I'm not like a Pharisee. I don't know everything. No, you don't. But you know the two important things. God is holy. You're a sinner. And you need Christ. You've been given eyes to see. You've been given eyes to look. To that great mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. But this isn't a one-off cry. This isn't a cry of the unconverted before they are converted. This is the cry of the sinner that has been felt to feel their sin. From regeneration to the end of their days, their cry will continually be, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Because, yes, the wages of sin may have been paid by Christ. But as I'll turn to it, Top Lady's hymn puts it so beautifully, doesn't it? The double cure. Be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Yes, in that first looking to Christ by faith, that being justified by faith, there will be that cleansing from sin's guilt. But there's still that battle within. There's still that warfare. There's still that continual ongoing conflict. There's still that continual cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm still sinning. I'm still looking at what I shouldn't look at. I'm still thinking what I shouldn't think. I'm still doing that which I shouldn't do. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, but what is it you desire now? To be more like him. What is it you desire now to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? The Pharisee had no need of that. Didn't need to know anymore. He knew it all. Up there, he knew it all. But nothing. Nothing within. Oh, do not despise the publicans. Do not despise those that feel to know nothing. And if you feel to know nothing and so little tonight, be thankful that you know something. You know the one thing needful. Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. My thoughts in the vestry went to John and his letter that he wrote in 1 John. He was overwhelmed, wasn't he, by the love of God to him. And that is what the sinner will be, overwhelmed by God's mercy and love in Christ Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love is this? That God would send his Son into the world. What manner of love is this? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. What manner of love is this? That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, and dear friend, tonight, do you find yourself crying this prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why? You've been humbled. Any thoughts that you had of your own righteousness and strength have been blown away. Everything within you that you thought was building up into something has been reduced to dust. Had to cry again. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's the case of all these people in the Word of God, isn't it? Especially in Luke's Gospel, we have so many occasions. Luke 8:47, that woman with the issue of blood. How did she come? She came trembling and fell down before him. That's how she came. So many others. Luke 17:13. Those lepers, they lifted up their voice. What did they cry? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What we read in the end of the 18th chapter. How did that blind man come that sat by the wayside? He cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you see the theme running through these people? Can you join yourself tonight with the woman with the issue of blood, with the lepers, with the publican, with the blind man, and say, I've got nothing to heal myself, Lord, but I come pleading thy mercy. And have you come and pleaded for that mercy before? Well, you'll come again, won't you? And come again this evening, wounded soul. Come again in the lines of that hymn number 11. And that's how we have to continually come, isn't it? Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections. It's not only won your affections, it's bound your soul fast too. And we have to prove in verse 3, don't we? Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness, and that's the only way, through his free goodness, my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. That's what keeps the sinner alive, as their eyes again are drawn away from themselves, looking unto Jesus, looking again to that one who cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so that wretched publicans and sinners could be united with him. Not the righteous, not the outwardly holy, not those that ticked all the boxes, but those that were humbled in the dust, brought to nothing, to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, as we draw our thoughts to a conclusion this evening, I don't know the Pharisees, I don't know the publicans, but my prayer is that you'll each be brought humbled in whatever way God sees fit to strip you of whatever is of yourself, to be brought to this point to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, so that you can go to your house justified rather than the other. So you can be brought to your heavenly home, where you can feast in paradise with the publican and all the other sinners that through God's grace he has saved, and that you can be spared eternal damnation, living with the Pharisees, those who thought they were something, those who were proud, those who were clean outwardly, but were filthy inwardly. Oh, may it be your cry tonight, and may it be your cry every day. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when we have tasted a little of that mercy, to come in with the last verse of that hymn. Great Father of mercies, thy goodness I own, and the covenant love of thy crucified Son. All praise to the Spirit, whose whisper divine seals mercy and pardon and righteousness mine. Got to be honest with ourselves. Have we truly cried with the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? If you have, you can go on your way rejoicing. You can go to your house justified. Amen.
Collections today are for the Savannah Education Trust. Let us close with hymn 184, 184. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184.
O most holy, holy Lord God, if there be any here this evening who have not been made aware of who they are, Lord, work, we pray, so that sinners may be brought humbly, may be drawn by those bonds of love, to cry by faith, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and to look with faith to one that died for sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we need more of thy grace. Lord, we need abundant supplies of it, so that when we are fainting and ready to die, when we are brought to that point where we have to cry again and again, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, we will know that whatever is wanting, thy grace will supply. Supply it for one another, we pray, so that we may go home justified rather than full of our own self-righteousness and pride. O Lord, then, and only then, will it be a day of true thanksgiving. Lord, we thank thee for all thy bountiful outward mercies. But Lord, may everyone know those inward mercies too. So be with each and every one here, we pray, and those that may be listening in as well. Lord, may not the word spoken tonight return unto thee void, but accomplish that which thou dost please. And Lord, bless souls, we beg. Lord, thy day is fast approaching. Lord, may it be a day of true rest, not just a day of bodily rest, but a day of spiritual rest, where we find, Lord, that peace which passeth all understanding. So, Lord, forgive everything that has been done wrong in our worship today. And, Lord, that which has been of thee alone, do truly own and bless. And remove, Lord, any wrong thoughts from what I have said from the people's minds, so that we may just remember thy word, treasure thy word, and truly go on our way rejoicing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.